So good to see everybody's face. I know the Apostle Paul, he reminded us that when he went to the local churches, he was face to face with the believers. And so face to face, heart to heart, faith to faith, and we can see some great things going on. Let's start like this. Everybody say it out loud, I love you.
I love you.
Now, while you're saying that, point to somebody, and that means it makes it specific. I love you. I love you. Love you, that's right. I got to love you in there, all right. Praise the Lord. So that's a good exercise. There is no thing, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, for there abideth, and it shall continue to abide until he calls it out. There abideth faith, and there abideth hope, and there abideth love. Now, which one's the greatest? Somebody says, well, which one's first, the egg or the chicken? Well, that's not the question. He says that faith is there and hope is there, but love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. So now if love is the greatest, our emphasis as a believer and as a Christian, we ought to be emphasizing that in our life. We ought to spend more time studying and looking at love than any other subject if God says that's the greatest thing. Go with me if you will. Let's run back to Luke chapter 6 and let's get some instruction here in righteousness this evening. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Many times in life, I have come up to places that sometimes I didn't have natural knowledge as far as how do I do this? But what you do is when you come into the place with no knowledge, then you fall back on. It doesn't mean that you're out there away from it, but you fall back on love. What would love do? And when you find out what love will do, then you can take action because now you know what to do. Glory to God. Just for instance, I remember back in the day, this is a mile marker in my heart. A gentleman that I used to work with, he and I had to be side by side, shoulder by shoulder, every day down at what is called Copeland. And we made CR hermetic compressors. And so most of you that were cooled by air conditioner, we made those air conditioners down there. But one day, this man, he got, crossed up in his mind. His soul man got pinched against me. Now, what does that mean? We had a misunderstanding. I had no idea how it happened, what took place, or whatever. And so I prayed about it as a young Christian. I said, now, dear Lord, what in the world do I do? And so thank God for the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of God. Amen. And God just carrying around in here with me. And so he showed me what to do. So I went over to his house. And, a few days, he wouldn't even talk to me down on the job. Come on now. And excuse me, the word says he was puffed up. And your flesh will puffeth upeth. And so what I did, I drove up to his house, knocked on the door, praise the Lord. And, back in that day, you didn't visit people you worked with. Knocked on the door, and he liked to fell over backwards when he opened the door. And it was me. And he said, what do you need? I said, I have a message for you. And I said, the Holy Ghost said for me to come over here and ask you if I have done anything to offend you to forgive me. That big old guy, y'all, he could took his hand just, and I'd have been over with. That old bottom lip started quivering. He said, all right, good night. Lord have mercy. Next morning we got to the job, and I looked up, and there he come. And I was thinking, my soul was giving me fits, too. And I was thinking, okay, what's he going to do, How's he going to act? And so he came right over close to me and bumped me real hard. He said, scoot over, and I'll help you. I said, all right, we're back in order now, praise the Lord. But now, how long would that have gone? What would have taken place? Could we have actually got separated for life? And listen, y'all, here's the end of the story. I saw him just the other day. That's been some 20-something years ago. And he walked, almost ran across a parking lot just to get a hold of me and say hi. I said, I hadn't seen you in a long time. So we started to depart and go our different ways. I said, I love you, man. He said, love you too. Why? Because he's not used to saying that, and I am, y'all. Male and female, kids, small children, doesn't matter who it is. How many of you know every time when we're together, you get one of them at the door? Amen? Miss Sybil's mom, last conversation we had together before she passed, I said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And then I heard she went on to heaven. It was a lot better that we wasn't fussing and fighting, isn't that right? Loving on one another. Amen. So now watch this. The message for tonight is to remind you that you are so powerful in this earth. Have you ever seen someone down to job place in your family, friends, or whatever, and they're just, I mean, they're a hoot, man. They're out of control. And everybody's wanting to stay away from them. Guess what? Do you know they need a dose of you? The only thing they need is love. How many of you know the only thing you needed was love? When you didn't know what to do with yourself, God said, I tell you what, I got an answer for this. I'm going to dump a portion of my love on them. And it melted your heart. Amen. And it kind of straightened everything out. Isn't that right? So a lot of times, the city, the community, the church and people, they'll shun people. So I have this phrase, you know, we don't shun people. We don't shame people. But what we do, we show people. Show them the love of God. And that'll never fail. So Luke chapter 7, one of the Pharisees, verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired Jesus to come and eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down and had some meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house having a meal, she brought in an alabaster box of ointment. Now, isn't it amazing it didn't say anything about her salutation or her greeting or asked if she could come in? She just boldly interrupted that meal. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointments. Whew. Now, I know I've been meditating on this for 30-something years now. But you cannot say it or talk about it without that anointing coming in where you're reading at or where you're speaking at. This ointment and this anointing that she anointed him with was actually the expression of her love for him. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Think how fun it was when you were looking at one another and say, I love you, sir. I love you, man. Love you. You know, however it was, that was fun loving on one another. Isn't that right? But just think again. Be reminded of how much fun it is loving on Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Savior, your Heavenly Father that will never leave you. When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake to himself, saying, this man, if he were a real prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that touched him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said, but he spoke the answer to Simon. He said, Simon, I got a question for you. He said, Master, go ahead. There's a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And glory to God, the Apostle Peter got this right, didn't he? He said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and Jesus spoke up and he said, you got it right, Peter. That's exactly right. He said, because Peter, when I came in the house, he said, you gave me no water for my feet. You anointed my head not with oil. Matter of fact, you just casually come in and probably plop down beside me here thinking nothing about I'm here. But she, ever since she came in, she's continually kissed on my feet and anointed my feet and poured water on my feet. And not only that, she took her hair that was, you know, containing of her tears. And she continually cared and blessed me all the time that she is here. So by now, the Pharisee and the Apostle Peter's going, man, he likes water on his feet. Make sure we put that on the list. Get him some water, man. He'll trip out. No, they even missed it after that. See, because Jesus explained what he said. He said, for this lady has had much forgiven her, therefore she loves much. What is the message right there, Pastor? I know we've read this before. You read it, you understand it, you know it. But what the revelation of this is that love knows love. See, without love, you can't recognize love. Love can sit beside you and just it'll bypass you if you don't know love, see. if you've not experienced and you don't know what it is, then it's unrecognizable. We just go by habit. We go through life, and love is not recognized unless we have love. Glory to God. This woman right here, she knew a depth of love that the Pharisee had never touched before. She knew something about that man sitting in there that the rest of them, even the disciples, did not know. In this room, is how many ever many people we have in this room is the levels of different revelation of the love of God, because God will meet you where your love level is. Now, see, in this room, we don't have to talk about, you know, faith won't work without love. You know, we're not loving on one another so our faith will work. No, we're loving because we're full of love. I mean, we get pinched, love comes out. We get in a pinch, love comes out. And, you know, we get in a good place, love comes out. What comes out of us if we're full? We're just full of love, so love comes out. Amen. So this woman, remember now, here's a message for you tonight. This woman knew more about God and Jesus and love than even the disciples and the Pharisees that's supposed to know everything. You may think of yourself as a nobody or from nowhere. You may feel like you're a nobody from nowhere, but you're really somebody special if you know the love of God. If you've experienced the love of God and you know the love of God, you got something. Not only for you, but you got something that everybody in your community, everybody in your family, everybody in this city and in this state is so hungry for. That's why things are in such a chaos. People are grasping for straws. They're just looking for something that'll fulfill only what love can take care of. See, in this room, many of you have family members, 60, 70, 80, 100 people. Y'all get together and have a family reunion, and you have to rent the whole football stadium to get them all in. Some of you, your family members have, excuse me, dwindled down to you, yourself, me, myself, and I. And so here you are connected to a community that's the spirit of love. So you must have that. You must have that cooperation of love. You must have that reflection of God's love so you can enhance and grow and be blessed. The scripture says in Ephesians, in that, you know, mature book, the Apostle Paul said, when you speak the truth in love, you can grow thereby. When the truth is spoken in love, the result of that is people's going to grow. Amen. How many of you are glad that you've grown in love even in the last 6 months? Now, how do you know if you've grown in love? Well, you're going to come up with situations and circumstances that you had to walk in love. you can't say, oh, time out. I've learned a lot about love, but time out. I want to flesh out here for a minute. You know, we all would like to do that. Isn't that right? Listen, y'all, it is true. We live around some jerks, don't we? People that don't know God, and they're just, you know, is, you know, ignorant, you know, ignorance gone to seed. And like we used to be, amen. You live around folks that's just like you used to be, amen. And more than likely, those folks that's just like you are going to get on your nerves more than anybody else. That's why God has seasoned us with His love. Just think about that ornery, cantankerous person on your street. Guess what he would be if he was filled with the Holy Ghost? He would be just the opposite of that. Just how far he's gone in cantankerousness, that's how far he would go in holiness. Amen. So that person's just waiting on your love. Amen. Go to Ephesians. Let's run over there to that scripture. Father and I had such a wonderful time talking about this today, and he was reminding me how that he loved you, not as just an individual, but he loves you as this corporate body. He even ministered to me about how that I love and care for you. You know, I mentioned to you not too long ago, it would be, this job would be pretty good if you was just a number. If I didn't have a care about you, and then whatever happened, it'd be all right. If it's good, praise the Lord. If it's bad, praise the Lord. But you're not. I get in your soul, man. I get in your business. You know, you can't pray for somebody that you don't know. Now, I may not know everything about the cabinets in your house and the carpet in the floor, but I know you spiritually. I know you by the Spirit. It'd be a whole lot easier if you were just a number. What's your Social Security number? You know, well, that'd be a lot easier, but I get connected to your life. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul said, "Wherefore I desire that we faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, that He would give you something, that He would do something for you, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, the inward man, the inside man where God lives, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love." Rooted and grounded. In other words, your foundation of your life, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually, should be rooted and grounded in love. See, even when there's a call, everybody's called, but your call will be fulfilled because, you know, the gifts and manifestations are in operation, the fivefold ministry is in operation. But when those gifts and callings and manifestations are in operation, God put the love chapter right between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Why? Because everything we do, every gift and every manifestation has to be founded and based upon the love of God. Otherwise, if the attention's given to me or given to you, and God doesn't get the glory, so therefore it's not done in love. But He said, we're going to be grounded and we're going to be rooted in love. Now, I don't mean to change or retranslate the scriptures, but I put in there next, because there's a comma, I put in there, you don't have to, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? So that means that God has a multifaceted, you know, knowledge, revelation, abilities, and love. He said you would recognize and know with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length and depth and height. In verse 19, and to know the love of Christ. How many of you know the love of Christ? See, that's a good answer. Here you are on Wednesday night. You knew that answer. I ask easy questions. You know the love of Christ. But how many of you know that you've not known the end of the love of Christ? How many of you know there's some more depth and there's some length and there's some riches? Isn't that right? There's some more love that God has for us to see, every one of us, whatever level we're on. He said, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ, and it's going to pass knowledge. Somebody say, well, what does that mean? Well, to know the love of Christ, that word know right there is a word that's signifying that not only have you have knowledge of His love, but you're experiencing it on a moment-to-moment basis. Glory to God. Know the love of Christ that passes just knowing about His love. And how many of you just get overwhelmed daily by His love? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because, see, I meet people all the time. I meet good church-going people, and they tell me often, I don't ever sense God's presence in my life. When I asked that about you, every one of you was nodding or raised your hand. What's wrong with y'all? What does that say? That says that you're hungry for it. That means you want to know it. That means you want to experience it. And if you want to experience it, He will allow you to experience it, and He'll get in your boat. If you tell Him you want to be loved on, you love Him, and you sow that into Him, He'll overwhelm you, glory to God. It's okay, guys. It's okay sometimes for us just to get overwhelmed. Sometimes I had to go to the office and just sit down, and sometimes He'll overwhelm me with joy, just laugh out loud, dance in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just cry. It's not a sad cry, but it's a joy cry. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Somebody said, I don't feel like praising. You just let Him hug you in the morning with His love. First thing that comes out of your mouth is, praise God. I love you, Jesus. Amen. And the more you love on Him, the more He'll love on you. And the more you praise Him, the more presence you'll get. And the more you'll feel Him, and the more you'll feel better. Glory to God. Hell, it's a win deal, isn't it? It is. He said, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that, I feel it coming on, that ye might be filled with what? all the fullness of God. So love invites love. Love knows love. Love understands love. If we even pray, Father God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Then we got to know love. We got to experience love. We got to receive His love. How many of you were very, 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 I mean, loved on when you're a small child? Go ahead and raise your hand. It's okay. Now, I mean, praise the Lord, they trained you up right. How many of you were, we put it like this, you weren't loved on. All right, okay, see there? Now we don't get, the expressions that we pull from love. We want to make sure whether you really loved on when you were small or, excuse me, you were left out. It's now our job to make sure as we go in this earth that we love everybody. Make someone your love project. I do this all the time. This is not a message about me. This is a message about the love of God. When I'm affiliated with groups of people, I put the love law into order, and we gain that group into the love of God. Not to join my club. No, no, no. But when they see me coming, they know that my lifestyle, that man right there, he's going to love on me when he gets here. I got places I go into now. And remember, when I say I, it's not a reference to Brian Colbert that was raised up on Tabernacle Road in Hartselle, Alabama. When I say I, it's not me. The Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen? Now the life that I live, it's in faith of the Son of God who what? Who loved me. Amen. Loved me and gave Himself for me. So I know love, therefore I can love. If I don't know love, I won't know how to love. But glory to God, I know love. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, that Pauline prayer that many of you have memorized, but this two-step maturity, not a dance, but two-step maturity. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and after I heard of your love unto all the saints, then the prayer of revelation, illumination, and manifestation came in. Paul is telling us here, by implication, that if we want to grow in the things of God, our faith must stand pure in Jesus Christ, and our love must be in operation to all the saints, and to every man, woman, boy, or girl. And there is where we begin, and there is where we stop growing. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Psalm 63 and verse 3, the psalmist David said, thy loving kindness is better than life. When you get in the midst of tests and trials and trouble, you got to know that the one that loves you is not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you on your own. John 14 and 7. In verse 8, John 14, 7 and 8, you remember Philip, he came to Jesus and he said, now Lord Jesus, he said, show us the Father that it will be suffice unto us. In other words, Philip was saying, now we're walking totally by sight, so we need to know some more information. We want a sign, we want a wonder, we want a miracle. Show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, don't you know I've been with you so long, and if you would have known me, you would have known the Father. Not only knowing me and knowing the Father, but the words that I speak, they're the words of my Father. Another place he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Then he went on to say, the works that I do. If you just look at my works, then you've seen the Father. And in John 13:34, Jesus, he said, now a brand new commandment I'm giving unto you. I know you know this. I'm reminding you. John 13:34, he said, a new commandment that I'm giving you. Why? Because I'm revealing the Father. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's hope, there's grace, there's ability, and everything that God has been revealed to us when Jesus is revealed unto your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this love is a revelation of who God is. How many believe God is love? See, you have to meditate on that. You have to stay in the Scriptures because you could hear some minister on TV here that God's going to judge us tomorrow. Well, guess what? He has already judged us. He judged us in Jesus Christ. Pastor Brian, why is God not judging the earth? Because you're here. You're here. You're His son and you're His daughter. You've been born from above. And so He's not going to judge His sons and daughters. It's already been judged in the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. You are holding God's judgment back from those heathens that gets on your nerves in the morning. So you're a blessing to those heathens because you're loving on them. John 15:12, this is my commandment, Jesus is saying, that you love one another as I love you. Now think about it. Your wife, your husband, your friend, your brother, your sister, church member, and all that, if they say they love you, isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? But now, what about Jesus saying, I bring this commandment to you, that you love one another like I love you. Now, you need illumination of that. You need revelation of that. Because we were dealing with a situation and a circumstance one time years ago. And I sought the Lord about it because I had to be directly involved in it. It's easier just to bypass people when they're, you know, acting like the devil himself. Yes, but I said, now, Lord, what do we do here? Help! Somebody help me. And you remember, bearing another record tonight seems to be good. He said, you just make sure you treat him like I treated you. Glory to God. How did he treat me? Man, when I was unworthy, when I was lost and undone, didn't have a clue who he was or what he was doing, I rejected him. I was living immorally, ungodly, unethically, and then he came and loved me anyway. Ooh, I'm going to have to run on that if I don't. Ooh, glory to God. So here I was having a problem years ago. Well, how am I going to treat this person? You know, they're crazy. They're going, He said, you just make sure you treat them like I treat you. Ooh, hallelujah. I couldn't wait to get there. Couldn't wait to enter in. Hallelujah. Another time over the years, you know, people are getting, you know, they'll get odd against you sometime. And so the Holy Ghost, he gave me information about this person that they were upset at me personally, you know, personally. And so next time I saw him, praise the Lord, it was at a funeral. Saw him at a funeral. You ever seen somebody that's upset at you at the funeral? Well, the line's over here and you're over here, so they go over there. So I got my eye on them. Where are they going? You know, dodge you. And so all of a sudden we was at the burial plot. I said, there they are. Woo, before they get gone, I'm going to get them. You mean get them? Yeah, I'm going to get them, praise the Lord. How you going to get them? I ran up behind them. They didn't see me coming. If they'd have seen me coming, they'd have dodged. Why? Because they're upset at me. Right there at the graveside, before they can run, got him around the neck. I said, I love you, brother, just like that right there. Y'all, it snapped that thing, praise the Lord. It run off like a Band-Aid. The love of God will overcome anything and everything. So Jesus said, a new commandment I give you is that you love one another as I love one of you. So what is it? What is it that you could do against Jesus that he wouldn't love you? I know, we all have flesh. We all do, y'all. We're not getting on to anybody, but we all have flesh, and a lot of times we would like to tend to the flesh instead of the spirit. But for the person that you're dealing with, they need your love. They need God's love revealed to them. You know, a fist or a cussing just aggravates that and stirs it up. But when the love of God's in manifestation, man, their heart's melted and they are reminded of God is so after them and so wonderfully in love with them. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the scripture says, God is love. God is love. Sometimes we, on the human side, we think, well, we can't love like that. How many of you are born again? The scripture said, God is love. The scripture says, I am born of God. And if I am born of God, then I'm born of love. That means I'm an offspring of love. So it's not Brian trying to keep a rule or regulation. I got to love everybody so my faith will work. No, I'm just born of love. I am love. Point your finger up here and say, Pastor Brian. He's a big wad. A love. Point to yourself. Say, Seth, you're nothing more, nothing less than the love of God. Now let's evangelize. Point to somebody else and prophesy over them. Tell them, say, now you are nothing more, nothing less than the manifestation of God's love. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what we're saying there? Sometimes we think we have to choose. Oh, we gotta walk in love. No, you don't have to walk in love. You are love. You just be who you are. You're born of God. You're born of love. You're born of the God of love. You're His offspring. You're His spirit and you're His image. So you don't have to memorize tapes and stuff so you can be a love walker. You just be who you are. Oh, glory to God. You just be who God is. He made you in His image and in His likeness so you can love. One more time, say it out loud. It's the easiest thing that I have ever done is to walk in love. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby we receive or perceive the love of God. How? We see that Jesus laid His life down for us. The leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and a lawyer greeted Him on a path and said, now, Lord Jesus, they were trying to trap Him. They said, Jesus, which one is the greatest of all the commandments? Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus said, here it comes, and you know it. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. He said, that's the greatest of all the commandments. That was the greatest even from the beginning. Is that right? He said, then the second is like this, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let me remind you of something here. How many of you that you kind of struck out on that before? And the reason why I ask that question, because I want to explain it. The reason why that doesn't work is that was instruction. Jesus did say it, but it was an instruction under the old covenant. And it was true. And it was not false. And it's still in, because this commandment was eternal. But a man trying to love another person like he loves himself will always come up short. Let me explain. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you don't love yourself like you ought to. So the first person you see or come in contact with, you're not going to love them very much. You're not going to give much love away because you're not being loved at home. I didn't say your spouse or your brother. You. See, if you're not loving yourself, then this commandment's going to come up short. Flesh is going to enter in there. You're going to feel unworthy. You're going to feel down. And you're going to say, nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. And so the first person you see, all they're going to see is the inside of your lip. Because it's going to be, that's not going to work too good. But how about this? Jesus changed that for us. We're under the new covenant. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, the love of God, hallelujah, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So the first person I see every morning, it's not based on do I love myself or not. It's based on God has put His agape in me, and the love that I love with, it's not based on how I love myself or any selfishness in it. It's the glory of God manifesting out of me, revealing Father God in this earth. Hallelujah. You got 10 or 12 or a dozen people right now that when you see them or hear their name, you say, where are they? Where are they? Why do you say, where are they? Because you want to go and stand by them. You want to get close to them. Why? Because they're going to edify you. They're going to build you up. They're going to touch you. I'm talking about in the right way. They're going to touch you and increase you and make you feel strong, make you feel bold, and make you be confident. Amen. What is that? It's not them. It's not them back home feeling good about themselves. Now it's rubbing off on you. No, what it is they know His love. They know what He would say to you. They know what He would do to you, and they're doing the same thing. That's why you like to be around them. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit or the harvest. Moffat says, the forces of a recreated spirit man. What's the first one? Love. You're full of it. Someone told me one time years ago, and of course, you know, I've learned over the years, you really watch what you say, because if you have light of something, you don't want to embarrass someone when they're on a certain level. But a pastor friend, he told me, said, we need more love. And I said, well, you know what? You're already full of it. We just need to emphasize it more. We need to let it flow out more. Amen. You can't get any more than what you got, because you got God. You got His love. Is that right? It is. Amen. John chapter 14 and verses 21 and verse 23. Love does some great performances. Jesus said in those scriptures, He said, now, if you love Me, that's Jesus speaking to you, if you love Me, Jesus said, you will keep My commandments. I've talked to people in counseling before, and I said, now, here's what Jesus said about this. Here's what the Bible says about this. And now, here's what I recommend for you to do. And they said, well, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, Jesus said, if you loved Him, you would want to do that. Well, Brother Brown, let me tell you something. I love the Lord, but I'm not going to do that. Come on, y'all. So what is that saying? It's not I don't want to do it. It's saying I don't love Him enough to do what He says about that. Do you understand that? So how many of you love Him? That means you're searching out, you're seeking out what He says, and you delight in what He says to do. It's a joy to do, amen. If we're doing it by course or by law, then it's not fun. Therefore, it's not being done by love. But it's fun when we do it by love. Let's run over to 1 John and get a scripture there. 1 John, what are we talking about tonight? Love, praise the Lord. You know, Dad Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, he was known as a prophet, a teacher. He was known as a faith healer, and he was known as one of the foundation of the faith movement that came in the late 40s. But the folks that were real close to him and the classes that we had, we knew him as a man that taught and walked and, you know, taught us how to walk in love. That was his emphasis in his ministry, was the love walk. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, hereby or by this, we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments. My teaching, you know, is inclined. I know Sunday we made reference to a person that was born again one day in his life and then lost another day. And I know there's much controversy over that, so we're not getting into controversy. We're just making a point that a person, the only way a person could be lost after he is born again is if he denies Jesus as Lord, denies Him from his heart as Savior, and denies Him as being the Son of God. That's it. That's the only way, y'all. Do you see that? All right. So the scripture says here that this is the way we know we love Him, if we keep His commandments. If you're dealing with someone, counseling someone, and they're not doing the Word of God, that means they don't know Him. Don't panic. Don't be frustrated. It just means they don't know Him. And they need to get to know Him. He that saith, I know Him, and then don't do His commandments. Now, that don't mean the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments. That means Jesus' ways, His thoughts, His actions, and His operations. He says, well, I know Him, but I'm not going to do what He says. The Scripture says that man, woman, boy, or girl is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Somebody shout, glory.
Glory.
Amen. But, I'm preaching to you tonight, whosoever keeps His word, in him verily, I mean it specifically, is the love of God perfected. That means it'll go to full mature ability in your life. Say it out loud. I'm full of the love of God. Hereby know we that we are in Him. When we love and are loved of Him, we keep His commandments. That's how we know that we know Him. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now remember, begin to confess that. Begin to say it, that God is love and you're born of God. So if you're born of God, that means you're born of love. You're not you anymore. You're love walking around this earth. You're God personified in the earth. Yes, you are. He said, what manner of love is this? Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I know a lot of times we'll be expressing our love to someone. They say, love you more. And even before you start walking up to them to say it, they say it before you do. a lot more than you do. Love you more than that. Praise the Lord. Whatever your phrase is, there's always a conversation, a communication around here. Love you. And it comes back, love you more. And then they get to where they're catching up with you. And then while they're at home, they're praying for you and loving you from a long distance. This is the will of God. Wow, Pastor Brian, I mean, you know, I came to church tonight to hear that. Yes, this is the will of God. It's the will of God from the beginning. Love God and love one another. Talked to a man just yesterday. He had built his financial status up before 2007. Before 2007, he had almost $7 million built up. $7 million figured up. He thought he had everything in line. Everything was rosy. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was going his way. He is sitting on top of the world. And then 2008 happened, and he wound up with nothing. Everybody say nothing. Everybody say nothing. Well, this particular person, in his nothing, he didn't have anything else. He put all his reliance on $7 million and how he got it and how he built it up. And then when the $7 million left, he didn't have any hope. He didn't have any peace. He didn't have any joy. He didn't think nobody loved him. He had no thing. He spent all his life figuring out his money. But the wonderful news is if you didn't have a nickel to your name, you got the love of God, God will still make something out of you. Come on, y'all. You lose $7 million, $7 million didn't come from this earth. $7 million come from Him. Hallelujah. If you lose the $7 million, it didn't get your faith. Come on, y'all. Glory to God. If you got love, man, you got it. Hallelujah. God will show you how to take care of somebody, love somebody, and they'll pay you while you're doing it. And that's how you get rich. Woo, hallelujah. That was good for somebody right there, wasn't it? Verse 14, we know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because, there's a cause there. Because we love one another. Hallelujah. How many of you know you're saved? Because you love one another. Verse 7, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved. Ooh, glory to God. He started out telling you who you're loved. Beloved. You're the one He's loving on. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, acting on that love that's in them, what happens? Is born of God. And knoweth God. No, this is simple, but it's so profound, isn't it? He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Boy, he's reiterating this, isn't it? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. Herein is love. What? Now that Jesus is seated on the right hand of Father God, that God can now love through us. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. In other words, everybody can see God then. Everybody can. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. The Scripture says, they that are joined to the Lord, they have become one spirit. In other words, you'll act just like Him. You'll be the same thing He is. He says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. I don't know about you, but I believe the Apostle John had it on the brain there, don't you? God is love. God's love. Jesus love. God. We're getting the picture here, John, okay? Well, let's keep reading just a little bit more. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, we're not a bunch of religious freaks going somewhere to scare the world to death. No, the spirit that we have is the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the spirit that motivated his flesh body to be sacrificed. Why? To redeem mankind from a lost and dying state on their way to hell. That's the spirit that we have. Here at Word Alive Church, we have a high set standard of morals and excellence. It's a high set standard, but if somebody misses it, we miss the mark. Guess what? Mercy invades their premises. Come on, y'all. We don't condemn or push down. No, we lift them up. We lift them up. He said, "He, if you find someone overtaken in a fault, ye which has the spirit of meekness, go forth and restore such an one. And while you're restoring them in the spirit of meekness, consider yourself." It's just one drop of blood that's keeping you out of that. Amen. It's just one deliverance that God has given you that's keeping you out of that. But it's the love of God that causes this great boldness in the church and His light to shine forth in all this world. He also says in that great epistle, he said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, if you continue and walk in His love, you're continually staying in His light. And if you walk in that light, watch this. Somebody said, well, you can't live perfect or sinless. Watch this. Watch this. He said you will have no chance to fail. Woo! That went right over the devil's head, didn't it? Pyong! He said, See, he thought he had you when you was a teenager. He thought he had you so messed up that you couldn't make it back out. But, oh, glory to God, the love of God got a hold of you. His mercy and His goodness met you, kissed you in the heart, recreated you, and put His love in you. And now you're a testimony of God that God has delivered you. Now, remember, you're not different. God's not up there somewhere loving us because we're crazy, cranky, and, you know, all this. No, God's in you. And you're expressing God. For as He is, so are we in this earth. Do a checkup tomorrow. Find out the people you're around all the time. Yeah. Just ask them. Ask them out plain. Say, hey, is it okay? You like me hanging around? A lot of times they don't tell you. Well, yeah, you know, I was having a bad day the other day. And then you started talking about God and how you love the Lord. And yada, yada. So, yeah, come on in. Always, you know, keep that smile going, please. There's this one man, he was always railing on his wife about going to church. He was a heathen. He didn't want her to go to church. But she finally said one day, I tell you what, I've changed my mind. I'm gonna quit going to church and come back living like I was. He said, oh, no. He said, well, I'll carry you to church tomorrow. Why? Because he was used to frying pans on the head and, you know, fighting and fussing and carrying. He said, oh, no, we're going to church now. I'll carry you. Make sure you get in church. Why? Because what you're getting down there is making this house peaceful. Glory to God.